This is The Truth Unfiltered with Dr. Ken Harris.
Here's my issue with it. The wear and tear they're going to put on the side streets by fixing the expressway, when what they should have been doing is fixing the side streets up so that they can take the weight of all that excess traffic that now, when you're done with 7 years of the expressway for, 3.5 miles or so, now you're going to have to do the city.
Live at The Avenue, here's Dr. Ken Harris.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Citing Unlimited, WTMJ talk and text line is 855-616-1610. If you got anything on your mind that's going on in the city of Milwaukee, I'm a talk about something, but I don't know. I think everybody sees it, and we don't hold leadership, depending on who they are, to the same level of accountability. We don't hold white leadership accountable the same way we hold black leaders accountable. There, I said it. We just don't. And before anybody gets uncomfortable and gets upset, oh, are we talking about that? Don't sit with me. Listen, because it isn't about feelings. It's not about race. It's not about all that. It's about patterns. It's about receipts. This is about the country actually operating when nobody is pretending. Example, when Bill Clinton got caught up in the whole scandal and impeached and public embarrassment and admitted wrongdoing, what happened? He didn't disappear. He didn't get canceled. He didn't get erased. He didn't get told you're done forever. He stayed politically relevant. His wife stayed politically relevant. High approval ratings, Global Foundation work, all that stuff. Daughter got to blow up. Still invited into rooms that matter. Now, let's look at the other side. Somebody like a Kwame Kilpatrick from Detroit. Did he go down? Yes. Was there corruption? Yes. Was there wrongdoing? Absolutely yes. But what followed? Punishment? Erasure? No pathway back? No rehabilitation narrative? No elder statesman lane? Just a permanent label of criminal? And for me, that's the difference. Not whether somebody did wrong, it's what happens afterwards. Because accountability in America, accountability in Milwaukee, believe it or not, isn't just about consequences. It's about who gets a second act. Look at George W. Bush. Two wars, intelligence failures, Hurricane Katrina. Federal response was widely criticized by both Republicans and Democrats. At the time, criticism, severe. Today, painting portraits, joking on talk shows and podcasts, rebranded as a likable, reflective former president. History, the media, softened him. Look at Ray Nagin, Katrina-era leadership. Yes, criticized. His legacy? I don't know. Defined by failure, criminal conviction, no rebrand, no soft landing, no, historical, we got to give people grace. They're human. So you tell me, which one gets complexity and the other gets condemnation? But let's go back to the media. Anybody remember Rob Ford? Drug scandal, world watching. How did they cover him? Like a spectacle. Late night comedy. He's a troubled figure. They humanized him. They almost entertained him. But look at Marion Barry from D.C. Same category, drug scandal. His name, forever tied to dysfunction in Washington, D.C. Forever reduced to that one moment in his life, and he could never get out from under it, even after being reelected by his own city. There seems to be a narrative that when white leadership fails, it's complicated. When black leadership fails, that represents everything wrong. Is it accidental? I don't think so. If you got any thoughts on it, 855-616-1620, or if you're listening on the rebroadcast on 1017 The Truth, 833-212-1017. All of it is structural. Let's look at Barack Obama. Look at his presidency. No scandal. No corruption. Wife and two daughters now grown. No personal scandal. Disciplined, measured, strategic. But yet the scrutiny never stops. But not just policy. The tone that people talk about him. Not just decisions, but demeanor. Not leadership, but symbolism. Because the standard wasn't do your job. The standard for black people is be perfect. And even then, everyone else decides whether or not it's enough. And really, that's the game. And if you don't understand that, you're going to misread everything you see in politics, everything you see in media, everything you see in leadership. And let me be fair, because I don't really want to deal with one-sided arguments, because you know I don't, because I'm a contrarian. White leaders do get taken down. Richard Nixon resigned in disgrace. There are consequences. But here's the difference. Even in disgrace, there's a pathway to legacy to recovery. People write books, they do interviews, they get reframed. Time becomes a friend. For black leaders, time becomes a magnifier. The mistake never fades. It just defines who you are. So what's really going on? I'm going to just tell you what I think. Black leaders are always treated as a representative of a group. White leaders are treated as individuals who made mistakes. See, I noticed that group thing, right? And I'm going to talk about it later when we talk about the street takeovers and how that was handled. And if you want to go back and listen, 2 weeks, two Wednesdays ago, when I was on with Vince Vitrano and Eric Bilstad, we were talking about that. At some point, and I was talking about the game paranoia, that might have been last week, we were talking about paranoia, that game they play in the suburbs with the going at night and the water pistols and all that stuff. Go back and listen to that. My Dr. Ken's truth. Black leaders represent the group. White leaders, individuals who made mistakes. That is the distinction that changes everything. It changes media coverage, public forgiveness. It changes whether you get a second chance or a permanent sentence from the court of public opinion. And so here's a question you should be asking, not who messed up. The question is who gets to recover? Because we talk about accountability, but if we have accountability without equal recovery, it's not accountability, it's hierarchy. And until we start calling out clearly, without emotion or apology, but just facts, we'll keep pretending the playing field is level. And from my point of view, and historically, it's never been. And honestly, it never will be. Until we demand that it is. Because at the end of the day, accountability should not be about actions, not about identity. But here in the United States of America, it should be both. And if you don't understand that, you don't understand the game. When we come back, speaking of local politicians, onward and upward in life? Nah. They're going to stay in politics.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris. Denise Thomas is taking a well-needed day off. She'll be back with us on next week. Hey, whenever or whatever you're doing, you're listening, whatever, you're hanging out, just know we're live on YouTube as well. You can watch the show, see what's happening in the studio, see what I'm wearing with my Illinois State University School of Communications jacket on. I'm just saying. And comment along with us. Just search 620 WTMJ on YouTube, and you can subscribe today. But if you want to talk or text or call or holler or scream or just all around harass me, you can hit me on the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line at 855-616-1620. 1620. Speaking of, 262-720 says, preaching exactly what too many of African Americans in this country do. Always a victim. Good job, doctor. But here's the problem. Here's the problem. African Americans are mostly not victims. They are victims in many instances. That is exactly the thing I'm talking about. Whenever you look at black people, it's always as a group. You never look at the individual saying they're a victim. You keep assigning those things to the entire group when that's not fair, it's not equitable, and it's not even true. It's a lie. It's a lie. Black people are not always victims. There are a significant number of us more, like significantly more, that go to school, work, do great things, don't cause trouble, all that. You keep attaching us to the ones that do and saying that is representative of us. But when some white guy shoots up the Washington, the White House correspondence dinner, he's all of a sudden an individual. Is he a representative of white people? I say yes. Is he a representative? Where's all the white leaders coming out against this guy? Nobody. Absolute crickets, quiet. Because when a white guy does something wrong, when a white woman does something wrong, they're an individual. It was just them. It's not reflective of us. It's them. But when black people do something wrong, all of a sudden, see how black people are? Let me tell you. Pick my wife up at the airport today. And I'm driving back. And as I'm driving back, I got to come from the south side. And everybody was leaving a Brewers game. And I live in Sherman Park. But I couldn't get to Sherman Park because everybody was leaving a Brewers game. So Miller Parkway was backed up, and American Family Field Road, or whatever y'all call it, the new 175 was backed up. The Canal Street was backed up, both directions, everything. People going west and people going south. It was like people were losing their minds. I cannot make a left turn. I cannot go into the city at all. I got to get out the city. They would rather sit in backed up traffic than simply drive through a neighborhood, make a left turn, and leave. Why? Because of fear. Because in their mind, if they see one black person do something on TV, all black people are like that if it's negative. And so all black people are criminals, and they walk around with guns, and they walk around selling drugs, and they walk around with, what do they call it, AK-47 style weapons and all kind of nonsense. We're the only group of Americans that when people look at the least of us, they say it represents all of us. And if you do that, not only are you a liar, but you're trash. In the words of Tory Lowe, you're trash. Because you're hypocritical, you're judgmental, and you're comparing someone else's lifestyle to yours, who never had the ability to do and input into the financial sectors, the education sectors, the investment sectors that whites have had, housing that whites have had. You have to honestly admit historically that is true. If you have a question, I will actually bring you the books that you can read that white people wrote about what you did. See, the problem is when people start talking to you as a group, you get offended. Oh, wait. My ancestors, we didn't have slaves. I don't have slaves. You just made money off of them. You just created three generations of wealth, and now you have a legacy because of it. But that's okay. The money Jamie Dimon makes at Chase Bank is because they made a lot of their money off wars and slavery. And if you go back and Google it, they apologize for it. Many of these large banks made money and still have money today, foundationally, off of slavery. And when you minimize it by saying, well, Irish people were slaves too and Italian people were slaves too, we're not talking about them. Talking about us. If you want to talk about them later, we can. They were. I get it. But whenever somebody brings something up and you get uncomfortable, you minimize it. Well, that's them. But I never find it when white people do. I'm going to start doing what's done to me. As young people say, I'm going to give you the same energy you give me. White people are crazy. White people are criminals. They keep running up trying to shoot the president, shoot up the correspondence dinner, shoot other people in mass shootings. White people crazy. They do all the mass shootings. They do pretty much all of the school shootings. They crazy. Y'all crazy. You'd get offended at that. What makes you think I'm not offended? I've got 4 degrees. I've got and no, I'm not being prideful or egotistical. I've got 4 degrees. Got a certificate from an Ivy League school. Considered a subject matter expert with a PhD. 30 years of law enforcement. I don't know how to add that up. 41 years of teaching in higher education. Elementary, high school, and college. Multiple businesses. I'm a reflection of all my friends that are black, that have the same thing, if not more. But if the only time you look at black people is what's on the news, that's troubling. And to say they represent all of us, 1, 2, 3, 5, or 200 shootings in Milwaukee does not reflect the majority of middle class and upper middle class and upper class black people that populate Milwaukee every single day, and nothing happens. But it's insulting. Your thoughts. 855-616-1620, Citing Unlimited, WTMJ Talk and Text Line. 262-210 also, the first one was 262-720. This is 262-210, who said, I kind of feel the same way about Democrats and Republicans. Absolutely. Democrats and Republicans have done absolutely nothing to help anybody outside of their party that are in leadership. Ever. We feel good about it. I feel good. I vote this way. I vote that way. But you never quite get anything out of it. Republicans in Wisconsin are fighting just to stop Democrats from doing what they do, even though they would do the same thing. Gerrymandering is bad until gerrymandering is good because you're in power. Then if you don't have power, if you don't have a veto pen, oh, it's bad. If you don't have the majority in the Supreme Court, gerrymandering is good. You lose it. You lose the majority. Now it's bad. Like it's, and the problem is the leadership. If somebody would just step in and do what's right for the least of us, because the majority of us can take care of ourselves, but we won't. And we don't. And it's unfortunate. It is truly unfortunate that we won't allow that to happen. Milwaukee Alderman Peter Bajelis is entering the U.S. House race. Hey, Alderman, could you take care of Milwaukee first? You know, the potholes, the shootings, the crime, the construction, you know, garbage pickup, leaf pickup, flooding. We got a few things going on. Milwaukee Alderman Peter Bajelis from CBS 58 says he announced he's running for Congress in the 1st District. He said today, I've spent years listening to people here, and what I hear is the same everywhere. Groceries, utilities, mortgages, and insurance just keep getting more expensive, and people know why. Trump's tariffs are raising costs, and Brian Stile has voted for him nearly every time while avoiding his own constituents. I'm running to actually show up, listen, and fight for you. Didn't really tell you what he's going to do. It's the same Democratic nonsense that everybody said. You could have plugged in any Republican's name, and they would have said the same thing. Tom Tiffany, anybody. Plug him in, same stuff. He serves the 11th District in Milwaukee, looking to unseat GOP Representative Brian Stile. So, and what's going to change? Nothing. He's just going onward and upward in politics. Nothing changes, won't do anything. Oil companies are the reason why our prices are higher. We already had tariffs. Most people didn't know we had tariffs. But we already have tariffs. So what? Like what? It's just weird because no one wants to spend the time to give credit to the other side when, in fact, all of your politics is local. So Peter Brigelis didn't do his job while he was here. So now you want me to send you to Congress to do nothing there so you can get another pension and another. And the argument they would argue is, well, I'm not getting a pension from the city. That's your argument, not what you'll do.
Well, he's not going to win the first district, so we don't have to worry about him going
to Washington.
Know
that. We don't know that because the same people said Trump wasn't going to win. The same people said Biden wasn't going to win. The same people said Trump wasn't going to win the first time.
True, but that district's been voting Republican ever since, like, as far as I can remember, since I've lived in that district, since Paul Ryan Steele took over for him. The Democrats never stand a chance come election day in that district.
That is the assumption that people make because we live in history. We don't live in present day. Today, people are exceedingly upset with Donald Trump because of the war in Iran. And because they're upset with the war in Iran, those people who were on the fence, or independents that voted for Donald Trump, if they flip, they vote Democrat. But there's no thing to say that I can flip away from Donald Trump and then go back to him. Because a lot of Republican strongholds failed in the last election.
Well, what he's going to have to do is get out to Janesville, get out to Western Racine County, Western Kenosha County, Walworth County, because that's where Steele and Paul Ryan always won it. That's
correct.
Where he's going to have to get out
correct.
To and really campaign hard. And I don't think that's been the problem. Most of the people that have ran, they don't really get out of the city of Racine or the city of Kenosha.
I think that's different. You know why? We got this thing called social media. We got this thing called YouTube. We got this thing called Instagram. We got Facebook. We got Snapchat. We got all these things where I can get you exactly where you are.
I know.
So me going to Janesville is me figuring out what your zip codes are and what your demographics are and pinpointing it in TikTok. So it can happen. And I think that's what people miss before we go to break. I think that's what people miss today. The lines we talk about, Republican and Democrat, it's not blue, it's not red, it's not purple. I like it the way it is. People are going to decide on election day who they want, and I don't really care what party you're in. I care what you're going to do for my personal, trying to find the right word because I don't want to say the wrong word. We're on FCC licensed radio. My personal quality of life every day. And if you can't affect it, you're not going to become president for me. You're not going to become senator, congressman or woman, county executive, county supervisor, mayor, or common council man or woman. Period. Throw the bums out. What are your thoughts? 855-616-1620 is the Siding Unlimited WTMJ. Talking text line. Well, we come back. The right to know versus actually knowing what's right.
You're listening to The Truth Unfiltered.
That's me singing. You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. I'm your host, Dr. Ken Harris, 855-616-1620. 414-501 said, was the ultimate Peter still an alderman if he becomes U.S. Congress? Well, I don't know how long he was on. How long did he serve? Or has he been serving? I don't know if he's like been long enough to get a pension and all that stuff. So I'm not mad at him. You know, if that's your jam and you want to be, you know, knock yourself out. But
yeah, can you be an alderman and a member of U.S. Congress at the same time?
I
That's
do
what
not
that
know.
Guy's asking.
I do not know. Let me see. Can you be a congressman and alderman at the same time in Wisconsin? And you cannot be both a member of U.S. Congress and alderman at the same time, but the reason is not Wisconsin law. It is a constitutional rule. Article 1, Section 6, Clause 2 of the U.S. Constitution contains ineligibility clause, which states that no member of Congress shall, during the time for which he was elected, be appointed to any civil office under the authority of the United States. This applies to both the U.S. House and Senate, and the clause is designed to protect the separation of power and prevent conflicts of interest. An alderman in a municipal office in Wisconsin cities, villages, and towns, and is not a federal office. However, the ineligibility clause does not bar you from holding a state office while in Congress. It only prohibits federal. So in this instance, it looks like, yes. The key point is congressional service automatically disqualifies you from holding any federal office during your term, but it does not automatically bar you from holding state or local office unless Wisconsin law or the Constitution otherwise prohibits it. Now, Wisconsin also has rules about incompatible offices. Statute 66.0501 generally prohibits a governing body member from holding another municipal office unless specifically authorized by statute. However, it's for municipal, not federal. So bottom line is you can be a U.S. congressman and an alderman if the alderman position is a state or local office and not federal. So yes, he can. Now, how he'll make meetings, I don't know. How he'll go back and forth? Well, let me see. Both of them don't work long. Both of them got a really, 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 really short year. So I guess he probably could. Probably do both. Take both offices. I say do it. And every time you mess it, look, we get to fire you twice. I'm just saying. So before the break, I was talking about the right to know versus knowing what's right. So this lunatic who decided to, well, let me just read it. The day after a man opened fire at the White House Correspondents Association dinner, which I mentioned earlier, authorities are combing through, who wrote this? Kristen Holmes, Casey Tolan. Yeah, too many people wrote this because it's from CNN on CBS 58. Are combing. Somebody's wrote combining, weird, through a message sent by a shooting suspect seeking to understand what allegedly led him from his life as a respected California teacher to a would-be assassin. He texts, "Let me start out by apologizing to everyone who I trust, whose trust I abused." He writes in a note that authorities says was sent by the suspect, Cole Thomas Allen, 31-year-old from Torrance, California, worked part-time as a teacher and also developed video games, according to public records. The note, which Allen allegedly sent to his family members before the attack, said he intended to target administration officials, express his political anger, while noting, "I don't expect forgiveness." So is this a reflection of white people, of all white people? See, something wrong with y'all. Start talking in generality. See, y'all be doing stuff like that. If you're a white male 21-year-old, ooh, I'm scared. But that's what we get. That's what we hear. Anthony said, "It says all the time black people are not seen as individuals, but as a group, while white people are seen as individuals." He said, "What happens to his alderman position?" Well, we covered that. He can be both if he wants. He can be both. That's on the YouTube chat. He can be both. But this dude boarded a train in Los Angeles, traveled to Chicago, then to D.C., checked into a downtown hotel hosting the annual dinner featuring President Donald Trump and other top administration officials, came armed with a 38-caliber semi-automatic pistol, 12-gauge shotgun, sent family members the note, calling himself the friendly federal assassin. Got off a couple shots, hit one Secret Service agent wearing a bullet-resistant vest, because there's no such thing as a bulletproof vest. People need to learn how to, anyway, do their job. And then was apprehended. And then, of course, they sashayed the acting attorney general and president out. So, interesting. Interesting. What are your thoughts? 855-616-1620 or the YouTube chat. I find it ironic that now is a perfect chance. Let's start looking at the people he hung out with. Let's start looking at how many people around America, how many times we've had shootings like this. How many times all the white, well, why are you racializing it? Well, because you do. You do it by your actions. You do it by your behavior. You do it by your statements. Why can't we? So when somebody does something for now and be like, well, there goes those white people, Evan. They're doing it again. Well, y'all doing it again. Well, I didn't do anything. Yeah, y'all did it again. I've been asked a million times, why aren't your leaders taking care of your community and stopping crime? Same reason they're not doing it in the suburbs. Like, I don't understand. Like, why am I responsible for an individual does? He's an individual. She's an individual. They did it. Y'all didn't do that to Hillary Clinton. I'm just saying. You didn't do it to Bill. You didn't do it to George W. Bush. How is it? Find that very interesting. Yeah, but they don't reflect us. They're individuals. No, they was acting on your behalf. Do you denounce the Klan? The Klan is acting on behalf of white people. Do you denounce patriots or all that stuff? So, I don't know. So, I don't know. Joe, you're on 620 WTMJ, Truth Unfiltered. How are you?
I'm well. How are you?
I'm hanging in here tonight. What's going on?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to talk. What happened last night, after talking to a bunch of different people, obviously I wasn't there, and, you know, we don't know the full facts of this stuff yet. But this looks like a whole setup to me. How can a guy get that close and then shoot out a bunch of rounds and only hit one officer? This whole thing just screams that Trump set this whole thing up. And I there's got to be some type of investigation, but this is just a total distraction again. And that's just my opinion. Mm-hmm. I think this whole thing was just, it was fake. It was set up. No one was going to get hurt. And it was just to another, just because of Epstein or because of the war or because of the, you know, the economy, everything. This is just, it's just makes no sense to me. And I know a lot of people agree with me. So thanks for letting me speak. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you much. Appreciate it. So let me give my rendition of it before we go to break, if I can. Is that okay, Evan? God, I don't want you to cut off my microphone and start playing commercials. So it would be a hard step. It's not outside of the realm of possibility. I'm not saying he's wrong. It's not out the realm of possibility that this was set up. I got it. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist by any stretch of the imagination. And yet, watch this. This guy who's in charge, or girl, or whoever it is, woman, man, in charge of training at FLETC, we have a generation of soft, and I mean with a capital S, soft individuals who have gone into law enforcement. And I can say that because I've trained cops. I've trained with cops. And I was one. We have a soft generation, and in order to get them in, they had to stop doing certain things that turn people away. Oh, my God, I don't want to do that. I got to holler when I run. I remember being at the academy and we would make people run and a cadence and holler out loud. And we were told, be quiet. You can't do that. Oh, you can't make them do that. We can't. Well, we have to change the amount of push-ups a person can do, because now I understand the difference between men and women and the amount of push-ups they have to do. But the fact that they don't have to do push-ups sometimes makes me weird. You have to have enough upper body strength to do certain things in law enforcement. You have to have enough legs or all that. You see what happened with those knuckleheads they sent to all the cities to lock up all the immigrants. Two people are dead in America because you have idiots who didn't understand the concept of probable cause in taking somebody into custody. Didn't understand that if you use your weapon, you can go to jail. Where is the investigation into both of these shootings where those federal officers who should be charged, in my estimation, where's the investigation at? Nobody's asking about it. Nobody's looking into it. Meanwhile, we've got two American citizens dead. They got that close to the White House because we have poorly trained Secret Service agents who showed it when they shot at Trump and tried to assassinate him and she couldn't get her gun in the holster. You know what that's a reflection of? Not that you're an idiot, but that the amount of repetition you take, which is called dry fire, of putting your gun into the holster. To this day, I could not carry a weapon and something can happen and my brain, because of training, can immediately access something that's not there because I've been doing it and I've been training it for over 30 years. And now you get somebody who's on the job with not that much time on, clearly, and you saw it when she couldn't holster her weapon. It's not like the holster moved. You just haven't been training. And we have really poor training today in federal, state, county, and local law enforcement. I'm just saying. Now, if you got a problem with it, 855-616-1620 or 833-212-1017 is the number. We're here on 620 WTMJ Sunday night, Monday night on 101.7 The Truth. You got a problem? Holler.
Welcome back to The Truth Unfiltered.
You're listening to Truth Unfiltered. Your host, Dr. Ken Harris. 855-616-1620 is the Citing Unlimited WTMJ talk and text line. You can also hit us on YouTube by going to 620 WTMJ. Make sure you hit the notification bell, subscribe today, and you'll never miss a show. You'll never miss a show. Talk and text line, 414-333 said, heart your show. Love your show. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it. We've been talking about Alderman Peter, just forgot his last name, Bargellis, trying to run for U.S. Congress in Brian Stiles' district. We'll see how that goes. And in my opening, I was talking about how, I don't know, black people are looked at as a group whenever something bad happens, whenever one person does something bad, we're looked at as a group. But when white people do it, it's always an individual, they're a leader. Oh, it's them. Nah. They make black leaders responsible for everything black people do, but white leaders, they get a pass. It's just unfortunate. And then we're talking about the correspondence dinner. CNN just brought up some tape about the shooting. Fox News is showing the videotape where people are, you know, the guy ran by with the gun and all that. How he got that far? Now, here's the flip side for the officers so you understand. Close protection or executive protection is a different animal. And people have to understand that if a person purposes in their heart and in their mind to do something, they can get it done. Something has to intercede to stop them. But to hold someone accountable and to the level of perfection that most people are doing makes no sense. These are inexperienced. They lost a lot of capital. They lost a lot of information and institutional knowledge because people rolled out because Trump came in office. people rolled out because Biden came in office. Happens all the time. Every time a president, you know, people go, am I going to deal with this or not deal with this? They say no, and they leave. Institutional knowledge is not passed on. How to do the job, the nuances of the job is gone. So now you've got these young agents, a lot of them under the age of 40, whose first job is the one they're in. 25, 26-year-olds who, in law enforcement parlance, don't know their head from a hole in the wall and don't have the experience they need. And they let a guy bum rush them and run past them. It's almost to the level, and I don't want to say this, I say this tongue in cheek, it's almost to the level of cowardice. And I hate to say that about a quote-unquote fellow law enforcement officer. But at some point, do your job. Your job, and you raised your right hand to swear to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America, to defend it from all the folks that try to kill us, blow us up, shoot us, all enemies, foreign and domestic. And if necessary, give your life for the cause. It's what it is you signed up for. If you don't like it, quit. But when you see the video, this guy ran by at least three or four agents. Nobody stood in his way. Nobody just shot him. How did you get that close? But we have this fear in this generation of offending people. I don't want to be offended, so I'm not going to offend you. I don't want to feel bad, so I'm not going to make you feel bad. And the older generations get written up, forced out. It's a new era. You know what the new era is? Nobody in America is safe. If you have law enforcement officers like that, no one is safe. Not local, not county, not state, definitely not federal. You know, people used to talk in America that federal law enforcement was better than local. I've never believed that in the entire time I've been familiar with law enforcement, which is pretty much my whole life. I've never, ever believed that. I've watched the training, the interaction, the leadership. Never. I will put a local law enforcement officer in front of federal any day. It's not a negative. And let me say this publicly. I'm biased. 100% biased. If you remove race, if you remove politics, if you remove religion, if you remove gender, male or female, I'll put local law enforcement up against federal law enforcement any day of the week. Now, if you got the toys and the bells and whistles, well, you got the federal trillion some odd dollar budget to support you. That's great. But when it comes to actually getting it done, I don't hold them to it. I don't. Not at all. Y'all making too much noise. I hear y'all over here. I'm just kidding. We got the news coming up in the 8 o'clock hour. I'm not convinced. I am not convinced. How you got that far into a hotel where the president of the United States was means that the Secret Service is terrible. And I can say that after 30 years of law enforcement. You're terrible. And when they dumbed down some of the training, well, they don't have to do that much. They don't have to. This is what you get. You ready? Trash. You get trash as a federal agent. Now, if you got something to say, 855-616-1620, the Siding Unlimited WTMJ talking text line, or you can hit me on the YouTube chat. Doesn't really matter. That's my opinion. So if you got problems, I'm right here. When we come back, we're going to look at Milwaukee. Because I enjoy living in Milwaukee now. Overcast, no sun, it's still cold. And we got the best thing I think we've ever had. Because we live in pothole heaven.